Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you to a fantastic show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not 20, 30, or 40 million years from now, but today, to be able to live that life that you love now, to be with those that you love, to do what you want, and live a life of purpose. And as along with those same lines, you're not just here for your own comfort and convenience, but you know that as you prosper financially, you can bless more lives as well. You can create a ripple effect yourself as that rippler and be able to create much more good in the world than what many people think about rich people lately. Hey, just want to remind you, check our website, moneyripples.com. It's a fantastic site there for you. You can check out great resources to find extra cash today. And hey, I just want to give you guys a quick shout out to you. I want to appreciate you guys for everything you've done, for following, for tuning in, and even reaching out. For those of you that have reached out and we're starting to see the possibilities we can create, I mean, this is what allows my ripple effect to continue. You know, when I talk about when I'm on other people's shows, I don't say it often here, but on other people's shows, I mean, the tally of hundreds and hundreds of clients I've worked with over the last decade, has just of those that we've tracked, has been over $100 million, probably quickly approaching $200 million. Again, hard to track all of that long-term because it becomes exponential. And the thing is that more and more of you reaching out, and in fact, just today talked to a dentist where I said, hey, minimum $40,000-$50,000 a year we can improve your cash flow by, which is, in my opinion, so exciting. And that's exponentially like can grow year after year, create this income snowball for them. And so again, appreciate you guys reaching out, appreciate you binging on this show and listening and tuning in and applying what you've got here. So guys, again, thank you so much. Hey, so today I want to talk about myths around whole life insurance, because lately I've been having a ton of discussions around it because all the insurance costs with companies, some have already jumped up, others haven't yet. But by the end of the year here, 2019, over across the board, every company will have higher insurance premiums, you know, just because of how the mortality tables have come out. And so I've had a lot of discussions with people lately, and of course, you get various questions of various means. And I know many of you have been following the show. You've heard me talk about it here and there. You've heard me talk about how to create a supercharged tax-free savings account with it, where actually it's very low cost in comparison to the cash you get. In fact, in many cases, what ends up happening is by the third year, it's growing by more than what you're putting into it, you know? And so I want to talk about that, specifically with the myths around what I'm hearing from some of you even. And even from others in general, like the media and everywhere else, right? Now, I just want you to know, like when I talk about the strategy that I use, it's very different than the strategy that's typically used by almost everybody else, right? Even when we talk about like infinite banking concept, the truth is I even do it differently than the people that claim to be infinite bankers, you know? My perspective around money is more from a business owner investor perspective. That's my perspective with life insurance and with everything else is, how do I get my biggest bang for my buck? How do I get the maximum rate of return out of this thing? In fact, to where it actually does make sense. And on top of that, it fulfills the basic need of protecting you, protecting your human life value, allowing you to even create a legacy beyond you so that your wealth perpetuates for generations to come, not just dies with you, which you can always create that too. But I want to talk about some of these the common myths. I want to address about four that I could think of off the top of my head here. So one, most people talk about when we talk about whole life. Now I do various types of life insurance. I do term insurance. I've done universal life insurance and I've done whole life. And over the last 18 years, I'm probably the one person that's done all the way across the board and back again, right? For example, in the early 2000s, I actually used to sell just exclusively term insurance and universal life insurance. And that was pretty much it. And then about the mid to late 2000s, I started switching more to whole life, and especially lately. Although there's still occasions where I'll use things like universal life, and of course I'll still do term because term still fills a good need. You know, I'll mainly do whole life for people. That's kind of where my niche has gone. Now, what's interesting is that people say, yeah, but whole life is so expensive. Well, you know what? It kind of is. You know, that's true, because let's think about it. You buy term insurance that ends at a certain date, 10, 20, maybe 30 years out. Yeah. The reason it's cheap is because it hardly ever pays out. You know, term insurance maybe pays out, you know, from what many insurance companies have said, and everyone has their own numbers, but it typically, I hear, somewhere between 0.5% to 1% of the time. So that means that 1 out of every 100 to 200 policies ever pay out. So of course, term insurance is expensive because people don't die with them. And in fact, have you ever considered that the very reason why you're told to just buy term and invest the difference and then get rid of term, get rid of your insurance when you get older and you have more assets? You want to know where that came from? Insurance companies. Insurance companies taught that to other insurance agents, saying this is brilliant. Because up until the 70s, do you realize that whole life was the primary insurance? That was it. I mean, that's the one kind of insurance that's been around for a couple hundred years, and various forms of it for hundreds of years. But that's the thing, is that, you know, once it hit the 70s, insurance companies started to say, hey, you know what? We can make more money by selling them something that actually has odds of higher profits. And it's cheap, so we can sell it so much more easily. We don't have to talk people into bigger premiums. So yeah, term insurance is easy. And I'll tell you, I just told somebody today, I said, you know, term insurance might be the way to go if you don't really have much more than $5,000 a year to put away. You know, if you don't have much more than that, term insurance is probably your answer. Get a convertible policy. You can convert to permanent later on, but just do some cheap term for right now. And it totally makes sense in so many cases. I still have term on me with different companies. You know, it's fine to have that term insurance. But yeah, when they say whole life is more expensive, well, of course, because whole life, for instance, it's going to cover you for your whole life. If you live to age 100, it'll cover you your whole life. There's no, hey, sorry, you're too old now, insurance canceled. There's nothing like that. Or worse, term insurance, if you actually keep it and keep renewing it, not just reapplying, but renewing the same policy you've had, you usually end up paying your whole death benefit by the time you're, you know, 77, 80 years old anyways. So the funny thing is, you end up paying for your whole death benefit, saying, well, what was the purpose of that? I might as well just self-insured, right? And that's what they bank on, literally. Now, whole life is more expensive. It can be, even over universal life. I've run numbers for a guy who's just won the death benefit, and we're writing universal life on him. We're not worrying about whole life because, hey, he doesn't care about all the cash value and the extra bonus stuff he can do with it to invest. He just wants a death benefit. Cool. That can make sense. But there's also some risks with that. For example, universal life insurance is basically term insurance. It has a one-year renewable term underneath it. The costs are coming out every year. So the reason why people favor it, especially insurance agents that will say, hey, it's cheap right now. Every year it does get more expensive. So as long as we get a lot of cash growth going and whatever it's invested in or whatever they're paying dividends based on, whether it's market-based or not, they're saying, hey, hopefully you'll have enough that it'll just keep perpetually paying for itself at some point, right? The problem is that if it doesn't perform quite the way that they hope, you could end up coming out of pocket more money. So that's one of the risks that can happen. There definitely, you could have some cash value savings, but you may not have a whole lot. A lot of cases I've seen universal life policies where by the time you hit your 50s or 60s, it starts eating into the cash value because the costs are more than the interest you're gaining. So that can happen. Whole life doesn't have that problem. There is no market risk. There is no chance of it losing money, essentially. You know, the only way you could is if you did a max loan out of it, never paid a dime towards it ever again, and then maybe it might compound. It probably will compound faster at some point than the cash value growth. That could happen. But if you're just funding it normally, nope, it's going to remain forever, guaranteed. It's going to keep increasing and growing over time, cash value and the death benefit. So that's one of the benefits there. So is it expensive? Yeah, it's going to be more expensive baseline. But the thing is, you get a lot more cash going in too. At least, especially if you do it the way I do it, you'll have a lot more cash going in than even a universal life policy. And on top of that, what will happen is that, yeah, you might think it's expensive, but in truth, if within 5 years, you already have more cash value than what you've paid into it. And even if it takes 6 years, depending on your situation, right? 5 or 6 years, it's got more cash value than what you paid into it. Doesn't that mean it was just like free insurance? Yeah, exactly. And then if it keeps growing from that point on, and you have the ability to access that money at any time, right? And you have the ability to earn, you know, tax-free dividends and even invest it outside of the policy, it's kind of a no-brainer in my opinion. So that's just my viewpoint on that one. So is it expensive compared to the other insurances? If you look at just the flat-out premium, yes. But the benefits are way higher. Low return. You know, they talk about low return. In fact, I used to teach this. I used to poo-poo all over whole life insurance. I used to say it's horrible. You only make like 2% a year, maybe, in the policy, which in truth, I was just regurgitating numbers I heard from other financial advisors, right? So everybody in the office was saying the same thing. None of us had any real facts to back it up. None of us. None of us had real facts. Well, guess what? In truth, that's not the case. Even if you didn't do any investing with it, right? Now, I will tell you, I think it works better if you can invest with it, but you don't have to. Because the truth is that almost every policy I've done, even the ones on people that are older, we usually net at least a 4 to 5% average return tax-free. You know, that's if you did nothing with it. I think that's pretty darn good. You know, when you factor in what you might pay after taxes and with market risk and everything else out there, it's actually not too far off what you're hoping to earn in the stock market right now anyways, especially when you pay your taxes. So low return, yeah, it can be. Now remember, a lot of these myths have half-truths in them, right? That's why they're myths. That's how myths can perpetuate, is if there's some sort of truth behind it. Yeah, low return, I'll tell you, if you do a typical policy like how most agents will do it, you will be waiting at least 15 to 17 years before you have as much in cash as what you put in. Like I said, when I structure it, it's usually 5 to 6 years that you have that. So we cut it off. We cut the time frame down by, you know, a third of the time, you know? So yeah, it can be lower returning depending on how you design it and structure it, but there's ways to make it higher returning. And yes, when you start to do other investments with it outside of the policy, you know, again, no guarantees, but you know, when you can start earning way better returns doing things like real estate investing or different types of funds like we've talked about on the show and things like that, yeah, you can make a lot better returns as a result. Now, another one is that this one actually comes from people that sell you life insurance, including the ones that sell you whole life. So this is a myth that actually is among insurance agents, this third one here. So I want to address this one because somebody just mentioned it this morning. And I said, ooh, I got to remember that one. But he's like, well, yeah, it's kind of cool because if you borrow from your policy, you pay yourself back the interest, right? So, you know, you're not, why would I get a HELOC? You know, why would I get a home equity line of credit when I pay interest when I can just do this and pay myself back the interest? And I had to kind of correct him. I said, you know, that's a half truth. You know, that's a marketing ploy by many insurance agents out there because they'll tell you, yeah, you borrow from it, you pay yourself back. Yes, technically you do. But the truth is that those insurance companies are still charging you interest when you borrow from that cash value. They still have an interest affixed to it. And every company is different, right? So let's just use a round number. Say it's 5% a year. It doesn't mean that you pay yourself back 5%. It just means that they're charging you 5% a year. Now, if you say you're trying to do this as a way to pay yourself back. So say you're making 10% a year in investment, right? You borrowed $100,000. You're making $10,000 a year. You know, you could always say, well, hey, I could pay myself back that money by putting the $833 a month right back in. Now, yes, you will pay interest to the insurance company because they're charging you, say, 5% a year, right? So yeah, as you're paying that money back to it, yes, you're paying down the balance. But remember, you also are paying interest to them, just like you would with any other bank. So when he was saying, hey, I think I'm going to pay off my HELOC and then just use this life insurance, I said, no, I would actually suggest that you maximum use of that HELOC where he's only paying 4.5% anyways. I'm like, hey, 4.5% is great. Leverage it. Don't accelerate paying it off. But the extra cash you would use to pay it off, then you could put into the life insurance. And then you got cash you can then borrow from. You can now double dip versus just paying off the HELOC. You put all the cash back in and now you have less cash to put in your life insurance policy. You could put more in, get a higher rate of return and still, you know, essentially have your cake and eat it too. And he's like, oh, that's a different perspective. I said, yeah, it is. Yeah, don't listen to what those insurance guys say when they say you're paying yourself back. It's not the whole truth. You're paying a line of credit. But here's the good news. When you pay back the insurance, and this is another one that came up with somebody I talked to yesterday, who, again, I take this sometimes this knowledge for granted, that said, yeah, but Chris, like, I might just use my HELOC instead of using this because, I mean, if I'm going to have to pay interest anyways, I might as well just charge up this HELOC and pay less interest because I have to pay a minimum payment. And I had a corrector say, you know, in truth, you actually don't have a minimum payment with the life insurance loan. They will charge you interest, just like a student loan that's in deferral, you know, where they might charge you interest, but there's no minimum payment due. They do that with life insurance loans. So they, they'll charge you interest, you know, say it's that, again, that 5% a year, but there is no minimum monthly payment. Now, granted, it doesn't have to be all paid in full at your death. And how do they do that? You know, if you've got a $2 million insurance policy, you have $500,000 out in loans. Okay, great. They'll pay off that $500,000 of loans, pay your family the other $1.5 million. That's how it works. So, you know, that is the deadline. That's your balloon payment is your death. For some of you, that could be a long ways out, right? But that's, you can pay it out, pay it back however, whenever you want. That's the beautiful thing. Now you do need to be careful if they do, you know, because they are charging you interest. If you don't pay anything towards the interest, it does compound against you. So you do need to be careful there. That could make sense in certain situations. I think personally, if you have cash flowing investments, that's a great way to utilize it because that regular cash flow can go and start paying back towards that loan and creating that compound effect inside your policy where you get paid on your money twice. You earn compound interest inside the policy and you're earning cash flow from your investments. But at the same time, you know, you do need to make sure that, you know, if you're going to look at this, you don't want to be doing much more than a short-term investment if you're going to let it compound. And I've had people do that. It can make sense. If you're making plenty of money on it, great. You can still far exceed the interest you're being charged. But just be aware of that. You know, if you have a two-year investment that's out there and you turn around on a property and then 2 years later you get the cash paid back to you, you might take some of that money, the earnings you've made, pay that towards paying down the interest you got charged, even if you pay it back to the original balance or a little bit under if you want to. And then you keep the rest of the money and you can go and reinvest it again, you know. Some of you guys do flip your properties, right? You might need 6 months where you're, you know, using the cash and you could use a line of credit, but you know, if you're renovating a property, it takes 6 months, you use a line of credit, you're going to have to pay monthly payments on that, you know, back to the bank. But if you use your life insurance, you don't have to make monthly payments and that could allow you to keep your cash free and clear. So there's lots of different ways you can use it. And so the one thing I want to dispel is that no, you do not pay yourself back interest. You do pay an insurance company interest, but you get some great flexibility that you don't get with the bank. Now, the fourth one I'll address is it's only good when you're young. You know, I get a lot of people say, I'm probably too old for this thing to work anymore because I'm expensive, right? Well, how old are you? Well, I'm 54. Oh, no, you are plenty young. It's like, no, you can still get great ROIs just like we could get on 30s and 40-somethings, you know, or 20-somethings. It may not be as good, but it's still going to be really good. It's still going to make sense. When does it not make sense? You know, it depends. Sometimes I see people and they're like around 69, 70 years old. And depending on their financial situation, we might look at not getting whole life, right? So we might say, you know, right now for you, maybe we just get a cheap universal life that's guaranteed. As long as you keep paying the premiums every year, it'll never die out. You know, you don't get any cash value or very little, but at least you got something, right? But if you're in your 50s, even if you're low to mid 60s, it could still work in your favor. The strategy I teach though, I mean, when I'm talking about, you know, trying to leverage it and double dip on your investment returns and use it for investing, that's primarily going to be during your accumulation years. You know, when you're trying to buy more assets to get that cash flow up, that's typically when I have people max fund their policies and then minimum fund or even make it paid up where there's no more premiums due for the rest of your life thereafter. So if you're in that accumulation phase or you're building up your assets, it can make perfect sense. If not, well, then we might look at a different strategy or something else to still protect you and ensure that you've got something to pass on to your heirs while you still have those cool investments and things like that. So anyways, those are kind of some of the myths. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, but the truth is that it's not about the insurance company. It's not even just about the insurance agent either. It's not even about how awesome they might seem. It's all about how well they design that product to work in your favor. When it comes to whole life, that's the thing. You can go to the actual insurance company and get crappier numbers than what I would give you for that same company. Why? because they're not trained to do it that way. You got to have somebody who's one, been trained to do it where you get max ROI out of your policy, the max cash possible that's available to you. Just like I use it for emergency savings. I know that cash, by the way, there's another myth, bonus myth. People say, hey, it's money's locked up for years. You can't touch it. Wrong. The way I set them up, you can access it in the first month. You got cash available to use in the first month, right off the bat, right when you put money in, there is cash available. So you have this extra little bonus emergency savings plan that now is protected from lawsuits and creditors and is tax-free versus sitting in a 0.0% savings account, you know, being taxed every year on that 0.0% and is fully exposed to liability risk from lawsuits. So yeah, I'm going to use them appropriately, right? But it's all about the design. And so you want to make sure it's designed properly. You know, this is why I've done it for fun. You definitely do not want an agent who this is becomes their full-time job and they're relying all on this for their lifestyle. The truth is that, and I've been there, you know, where you need the money. When someone needs the money, they may or may not do it to the best of what could be done there. They may not do the numbers the best way possible. I've seen that in many cases where I know an agent knows how to structure it, design it just right so you get the max ROI out of it, but they don't because they start thinking about their pocketbook. This is why it's so much fun when you're financially independent. You don't even need the money. When I started doing this a few years ago, more actively, full time, well, not even full time, part time actively. When I started doing that, that was the cool thing is that it just became fun and I just wanted to build that better mousetrap. So anyways, hopefully this helps you out to kind of dispel some of those myths that you may have heard or not heard. But again, if you've got questions on that, and this is coming up because all the numbers are changing here in the next couple months. So if you got questions, you can always shoot me an email. Say, hey, Chris, you know, I'm looking at how I designed this last policy. Or Chris, I was thinking about designing this policy, but wasn't sure the best route to go. Shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, and I'll see if I can answer any questions for you. So anyways, guys, thank you so much for following and engaging and being a rippler in your own life, because when you guys prosper and you create that ripple effect, you can bless more lives. You make the world a better place. Make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.